What do you do in these moments when you have little time, when you have incomplete information and you still have to make a decision? I think it is better to take a suboptimal decision than no decision at all. Then it's still better to take the best of the bad ones and decide and move than not moving at all. Hello and welcome to today's Lightwolf Leadership Podcast. My name is Stefan, I'm your podcast host, and I welcome you back to Lightwolf if this is your favorite, and I welcome you for the first time, should this be the first time that you are on this show. The purpose of this podcast is to spread good leadership in the world, to learn from you, to learn with you, to enable learning among all of us in the community. And today's title: Decisions Under Pressure, your roadmap for good, fast decision-making, is part of our series for crisis management part 3. How do you make decisions? And how do you decide under pressure? Do you also recognize this pattern? A critical decision needs to be taken quickly with incomplete information, with information that you're not certain is completely accurate, and under high pressure. Time is scarce. But many managers and leaders make typical mistakes in such situations. Three of the most frequent problems are paralysis by analysis. Too many options are analyzed over and over again. And yet another option, and yet another question, and yet another set of data that has to be analyzed. Too little time. The decision is delayed, and delayed again, and it drives you crazy. Second, emotional short-circuiting. Pressure leads to impulsive decisions without really weighing up the consequences of those decisions. People react under pressure rather than acting with a cool, calm, collected mindset. And three, fear. Shying away from responsibility. Fear of making mistakes leads to decisions being postponed or delegated time and time again. And all of these things cost valuable time, often without any decision being made. Now the question is, what do you do in these moments when you have little time, when you have incomplete information, and you still have to make a decision? Here are three things I learned throughout my corporate career and in the 35 plus years that I have been in leadership roles in my life so far. Tip number one, courage to leave gaps instead of perfection. Yeah? Courage instead of perfection. Use the 80-20 rule. It's often true that you already reveal 80% of the value, 80% of the quality information you need to make a decision with just 20% of all the information available. Yeah? So 20% of the info leads to 80% of the value. And that 80% might be more than you need to make a decision. Don't invest the other 80% of time to just get a bit more quality. Make a decision. Another enemy of decision making is perfection. Let's start with reflecting. What is actually perfection? When I was 17, I thought about it. And I kissed goodbye to it. Why? Because in my thinking, perfection means the absence of mistakes. That's something perfect. It's free of any mistake. And that means, by definition, it is inhuman. This cannot be human. Why? Because humans make mistakes, by definition. Self included, first and foremost. I make mistakes every single week. I also make leadership mistakes, even if this is really a passion topic of mine. And even if I work hard and I work consistently on becoming a better leader myself, I am human. So I make mistakes, full stop. That's why perfection, if defined as the absence of mistakes, is just impossible for me to attain. Second, I think perfection is also non-desirable. Why? Because one definition of perfection might mean you cannot improve it anymore. It's something that can't be improved anymore. It is perfect. Well, then, thank you. But no, thank you. That's not for me. Because I don't want things that can't be improved anymore. I would like to continue learning until my last day in this life. I'd like to become better as long as I live. So perfection is also not desirable. So it's neither possible nor desirable. That's why I kissed goodbye to it at the age of 17. And very often, 80% of quality information is enough. And more analysis doesn't really add sufficient value. Therefore, better fast than perfect could be one mantra in decision making. Customers need value. And customers need speed. And yes, as whether we love it or hate it, time is money. Yeah? When I attended my first ever budget meeting, when I was a young assistant on a diapers brand, a well-known global diapers brand, I was invited into the room. I was sitting in the remotest corner of the room and I was just listening all day. And at least 50 times throughout this budget meeting day, there was a conversation about money being involved. And I'm not naive. Money matters. We need enough money to pay our bills and we need to feel paid in a fair manner. So money matters. But at that time, when I was young and starting my career, money was the scarcest resource. Time, we had a lot. Nowadays, I think the scarcity of resources has reversed. My perception is that nowadays, time is often the scarcer resource than money. Time is money. And therefore, it matters to make decisions timely, soon. Yes, to make them well, but also to make them fast enough. Otherwise, the market is gone. So time is money. And therefore, have courage instead of stagnation. Act despite fear. Having fear, I think, is good. The only people on this planet who scare me are those who say, Stefan, I'm not scared of anything. Well, think twice if that's a true statement. Because if you're truly not scared of anything, you might run into fatal risks that either just waste money or cost entire companies. Or in worst case, even risk human life, right? So I think it's good to be scared at times. However, we need to have the courage to do what's right and not allow our fear to prevent us from acting. I think that's another important component of decision making. And another thought for us to review. I think it is better to take a suboptimal decision than no decision at all. Even if your analysis comes to the conclusion that there is no really good option, then it's still better to take the best of the bad ones and decide and move than not moving at all. It's always better to take the best one and then to optimize along the way than waiting until something falls from heaven. It won't, right? Decide with 80% of the necessary information, take the best one and move. Courage instead of perfection. Tip number two, prepare the decision. Good principles and trained processes. Set a clear decision-making framework. Define principles in advance for quick decisions. Principles might help. Principles do help. Yeah? Let me give you an example. In my first employer, we received excellent training and development. In fact, at the time, I didn't really know how valuable it was. I only learned it afterwards, saw it afterwards. Once I attended a training on principle-based management. I enjoyed it so much that I decided to become a trainer in the topic and run a couple of those trainings myself as a trainer in my own departments. I became a young general manager and trained the marketing team. I had been a marketing guy before on decision making. And the case we studied was, here are 20 different marketing activities, all associated with a given marketing budget. There are limited resources. And there is just so much you can do. So take those 20 decisions, those 20 options, and just discuss them one against the other. You have to stick though to a case-by-case discussion and to an option-by-option decision. The team started. About half an hour later, they had discussed intensively, but they hadn't finished the task, which was to develop a ranking of those decisions that receive a yes in the limited budget and those others that receive a no. 30 minutes gone, no decision taken, because they stayed, as I instructed them, on a case-by-case and option-against-option level. Then I said, okay, guys, now let's elevate the game. Please think about your guiding principles. Define them. Articulate them. For example, first, you invest into innovation over cost savings. Maybe your principle. Maybe you are in a very different situation and you decide the reverse principle and say, we now invest most of our time into cost savings over innovation for half a year. Could be the other one. Or you invest into brand building over short-term promotion. Or you invest into price competitiveness over product performance, right? So think about the principles you set. Set those 2, 3, or 4 principles up front and then apply your 20 options against those 3, 4 agreed principles. Piece of cake. In 3 minutes, they were done. They had ranked their 20 decisions according to 3 chosen principles. They cut a line after 8 options because that's how far the money went. And the remaining 12 were received a no for the time being. And within 3 minutes, the decision-making was done. So that's one example how principles can help, have helped me and others in making decisions. Principles are overarching timeless guidelines that allow but also require interpretation to your specific case. They guide decisions and behavior regardless of specific situations. Principle-based decision-making means you're guided by these firm principles when making difficult or complex decisions. And these principles also enable you not only to make decisions, but to also act in a consistent manner, efficiently and based on common values. One process that I also find helpful in decision-making is the so-called PARSA process. Yeah? Now we leave principles, we go to process. PARSA. Problem, analysis, root cause, solutions, action. What on earth does that mean, Stefan? Yeah, here you go. PARSA. Problem. In way too many situations, people assume they know the problem. And people assume that others see the problem exactly like they do. Careful. Careful. Some of you may have heard the meaning of the word assume. And some of you may know what happens if you divide the word assume into 3 syllables. Into A-S-S hyphen U hyphen M-E. Yeah? Assumptions, it's a bit vulgar, I know, apologies. But assume, if you divide it in 3, it makes an ass of you and me, right? So let's not assume. Let's rather define the problem rather than assuming we know it. Define what the problem is and define it specifically. That's your problem definition, the P in PARSA. Second is A for analysis. Analyze what parts does the problem consist of and how are those parts interconnected? How do they influence each other? That's important before you can really solve the problem, that you really understand what parts it consists of and how they influence each other. R, root cause. The real root cause. Again, watch out for the black hole of assumptions. Don't assume you know. Clarify the root cause. Because only if you clarify, if you really nail the real root cause, you can find good solutions to get out of it. It doesn't have to be scientifically perfect, but it should be accurate. And that's the time you should invest, that you really accurately define what's the root cause of the problem. Then and only then will you be able to easily find good options to solve it. The next point in Parser is solutions. S as in solutions. Typically, when you are defining a problem and solve it, you will be able to see several solutions. Write them down. Assess their pros and cons. And then pick the one that assessing pros and cons is the best option. And once that is defined, once you've selected your option you want to go with, then go to A, standing for action. That is the parser process that has often served me well, particularly under pressure, and it doesn't have to take a long time. You can be disciplined in thinking also within short periods of time. So that's one way to use principles, principle-based decision-making, and another way to use trained processes, the parser process, for example, to prepare good decisions. And tip number three, learning and reflection loops. One of the ways you can over time improve your decision-making skills is to develop a post-mortem mindset. What does that mean? This idea of reflecting a decision after it was taken, sometimes 3 months, 6 months, 12 months after implementing a decision, I think is extremely useful for learning purposes. I have once been a marketing director on a European paper business in the hygiene category. And at the time when we took over and integrated the business, we realized that according to our own accounting standards, we were losing 12%. Deep in the red. A turnaround case. And we delivered. About 4 years later, we had turned around a minus 12 into a plus 8 profitability. And that was delivered with two big points. One was a cost savings program, and my bosses took care of this, leading to about 10% profitability improvement. And the second one was an innovation system change that my team took care of. And one of the core things that we defined and improved was the decision-making process on innovation, a process that went through gates in decision-making that led to another 10% increase in profitability. And that included for the first time to really take the time 6 months after launch and 12 months after launch to do a post-mortem, to review the data. Did we deliver on, above, or below target in terms of profitability, incremental sales, incremental distribution, incremental brand results? What are the numbers? Did we deliver or not? And in both cases, why? So that's a post-mortem mindset. I think it's useful at time of decision-making to really be clear on what's the best solution, weighing all pros and cons. What risks does even the best alternative entail? And how do you manage these risks going forward? And then if acceptable, and if you feel comfortable that you've done everything that's reasonable to take a good decision, then take it and act now. And then long after the decision, take an in the rear view, mirror view, look in the mirror, reflect, and look what really happened, compare it to what you expected, and generate your learning. Another example for decision-making under some pressure was when I was a young general manager in the pharmaceuticals industry, taking 10 decisions in 2 years, 10 big decisions. Two of them were awfully wrong. Yeah, I really made a mistake in one element that was wrongly investing into further application studies and one that didn't really improve the quality of our products at all, sunk a few hundred thousand euros. But there were two that were very good decisions that proved very right, which was focus. I focused a lot in terms of innovation. We focused many innovation efforts on one idea and initiative that improved therapy compliance in a very simple and highly differentiated manner where we had a patent lead and for some time really a unique proposition in the market. So I focused efforts and energy on that one. And I also focused investment. I changed the investment strategy, generated funds, released funds, promised significant returns and delivered by investing behind this innovation. And that was really good calls. In those 2 years, we doubled the already good profit to a great profit in that business, which was partly a result of the good decision-making skills in my own team. So in summary, how to take good decisions under pressure. First, courage. Courage to leave some gaps instead of striving for perfection. Two, decision preparation. Ensure you have sound principles and trained processes. And three, learning and reflection loops. In conclusion, quick, good decision-making can be learned. Train your own decision-making muscle with those three methods and many more, and you will become much more confident under pressure. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if yes, then please subscribe to this Lightwolf podcast. Pick out your smartphone now, hit the subscription button, and you won't miss any further episode. Every single week, there is a new one coming out with new learning, with new ideas to share with you. Join the community. If you like this podcast, subscribe, leave us a reference, leave us a star rating, and please become an active member of the Lightwolf community. We are here together to make the world a well-led world, and your contribution will be highly welcome. Thank you very much. See you soon, and take care. Bye-bye.